Good afternoon, and welcome to the FEAR, Achieve, and Benchmark Success and Measure Public Health Impact Conference Call. I will now turn the call over to Gina Puglisi, Vice President, Premier Safety Institute. Ma'am, you may begin.
Thank you, Valerie, and good afternoon from Charlotte, and we'd like to welcome you to Premier's Advisor Live series. I'm Gina Puglisi, the Vice President of Premier Safety Institute, and I'm going to be your host for today's program. I just have a couple quick announcements before I introduce our speakers, introduce our moderator, Gary Cohen, who will introduce our speakers. This program is going to be recorded, and it's going to be posted on our Advisor Live homepage at premierinc.com/Advisor Live about 24 hours after the call. After today's presentations, our operator is going to let you know how to ask your questions. And during that time, while we're getting ready for you to dial up that you're going to ask a question, there's going to be a very brief survey on your screen, three brief questions that we'd like you to answer. They'll be on your screen posted. And we'd like to thank you in advance for just giving us a little bit of feedback about today's program. This program is part of our SPHERE, which is Securing Proven Healthcare Energy Reduction for the Ecosystem. It's Premier's energy program, and this is our Energy Leadership Forum, and this is the fifth in a series of audio conferences that we have available. Lauren, I don't have the slides in front of me, but I'm on the slide for SPHERE as part of Premier's Green Healthy Program. Premier has this Green Healthy Program, which is our overall leadership program, and our SPHERE Energy Program is part of that. And our goals are really to help our hospitals reduce cost, their energy usage, and increase their use of clean and renewable energy. And a variety of strategies, including education of our leaders and partnership and promoting benchmarking, which we're going to hear about today. And we also have an opportunity for competitive purchasing of energy through our partnership with Practice Green Health that we'll hear about. The next slide just shows you a quick screenshot of our website, which has lots of information on it. It's summarized on this slide, case studies, tools, educational programs, including files of today's program as well as previous programs, our contracted supplier list, and lots of resources that you'll be hearing about today and links to those resources. The next slide is just a reminder that this program is just one in a series of programs that we've had, and some of the archived programs that are on our site are listed here. Energy saving opportunities from hospitals that have shared their best practices and their money saving strategies, including Catholic Healthcare, West Geisinger, and Peace Health are just three examples of some things that they have done, and they're all part of our website, and all the tools and resources from those programs you can download. I'd like to turn the program over to our moderator, Gary Cohen, and Gary Cohen is the Executive Director of Healthcare Without Harm, and he's going to introduce today's speakers. Gary?
Thanks very much, Gina. As everyone knows, there's tremendous momentum in the healthcare sector for hospitals to understand their carbon footprint and to take steps to improve their energy performance. And today we have a host of speakers that are going to really assist hospitals around the country around these issues. First, we have Clark Reed, who's the Director of Healthcare Facilities Division at the Energy Star at the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, who will be discussing how to measure your baseline energy use and compare it to other hospitals and industry averages. Second, we'll have Pat LeDun, who's the coordinator of the Energy Smart Hospital Program at the U.S. Department of Energy, talking about a new DOE-sponsored training program to help hospitals become more energy efficient. Third, we have Drew Crawley, who's the commercial buildings team lead at the Building Technologies Program at the University at the Department of Energy, talking about the Hospital Energy Alliance, which is creating a learning community among hospitals to share best practices and also to purchase more energy-efficient equipment for your hospitals. And finally, we'll hear from Paul Lipke, who's the senior Advisor for Energy and Buildings with Healthcare Without Harm and Practice Green Health. We'll talk about how to translate the measurement of your energy use and the related emissions into concrete and hard public health terms and costs. So without further ado, I'm going to turn this over now to Clark Reed to introduce his program.
Great. Thank you, Gary. I'm delighted to speak to Premier Partners in attendance today about using EPA's Portfolio Manager to benchmark facility energy performance. We believe benchmarking is really the first thing that facility managers should do when setting up their energy management programs, and we're really pleased to see Premier has devoted a webinar on this subject. Over the next 20 minutes, I'd like to provide a brief overview of ENERGY STAR for those of you who are unfamiliar with the program. I'd like to discuss at a high level how Portfolio Manager can help you determine how efficiently your facilities are operating now. And then I want to wrap up by telling you about opportunities to earn recognition from the EPA. Certainly, energy conservation creates environmental leaders, and we believe you ought to be recognized for the work that you do in protecting our environment. So let's advance to the next slide. And just like your hospital or healthcare system, we have a brand that we try to strengthen and make more credible in the public eye. And over the past 16 years, ENERGY STAR has become the second most trusted brand among consumers for product certification. Over 70% of the public recognizes that ENERGY STAR is the symbol for energy efficiency, and 84%, as you see here, say that that brand influences their purchase of products. And with numbers like that, it's not surprising to learn that Americans purchased about 550 million ENERGY STAR qualified products last year for a total of more than 2.5 billion products sold since the year 2000. As you can see, it's on over 60 different product categories, from light bulbs to refrigerators to computers and to faxes. And it means consumers are guaranteed savings anywhere from 25 to 50% compared to non-qualified products. The ENERGY STAR also designates the most energy efficient buildings in the country too, as you see here. These are buildings that measurably cost less to operate and improve the quality of our environment. These are not demonstration projects, but real world buildings resulting from prudent energy management strategies and proven technologies. The ENERGY STAR program, on the next slide, began working with hospitals in 1992. Over 16 years ago. But as you can see here, we work with many other building markets as well. We learned pretty quickly that energy is used differently across different commercial buildings, that some markets like office buildings are more sensitive to the impacts of rising energy costs than, say, hospitals, and that each market talks somewhat differently about the value of their energy investments depending upon whether they are a for-profit or a nonprofit entity. But regardless of the market sector, our job has been to identify the leaders, learn their best practices, and then work with the industry to make them common practices. And about 20% of healthcare organizations across the country have joined ENERGY STAR. Here are a few of the over 700 hospitals or healthcare systems that we work with to assess performance and progress, set goals, and create and implement action plans. We saw recruitment numbers triple last year compared to our historical average due to, I suspect, rising energy prices, sustainability initiatives, and cost-cutting mandates from hospital boards. When margins are shrinking from the economic slowdown, you know, I think controlling energy consumption, even though it's only about 2% of operating costs, suddenly looks like a pretty good idea. Well, whether you manage hospitals or medical office buildings, we found that the most energy-efficient businesses in America use, on average, about 30% less energy than their competitors. The average energy price increase expected by healthcare facility managers in 2009 is 11%, according to ASHI's 2008 Healthcare Energy Efficiency Indicator Report. And I honestly don't know of anyone who believes that energy prices are going to be going down over the long term. So increasing energy efficiency will help reduce your exposure to future price increases, and it's going to be good for your bottom line. So how good? Well, this slide here basically tells you that energy savings is bottom line profit. I mean, we all know that. It means that we didn't have to generate revenue to create it. So if we're running a hospital that is currently at 5% net operating margin, then that means that for every $20 in revenue, we're contributing a dollar to the margin. So if our facility operations department saves $50,000 in energy over a year, it's like we didn't have to raise $1 million in revenues to create that profit. So admittedly, this is a creative way, but it really helps many facility departments get in the game with the rest of the departments and shows how facility operations can make a positive contribution to the mission rather than being just viewed as a cost. And I might add that profit margins for hospitals are closer to 2% now with the economic slowdown. So that means that the ratio has changed from 1 to 20 to more like 1 to 50, making efficiency investments look even better. So the Energy Star program offers you a lot of energy efficiency resources. We offer guidance on how to set up your energy management program. We offer tools to help you benchmark the energy performance of your facilities and determine how they compare to their peers across the country. We offer best practices and case studies and calculators to make the business case for efficiency investments, and lots of communication materials to help spread the word throughout your healthcare facilities about what you're doing and what your goals are. And then certainly we offer lots of national recognition as well. But for the purposes of today's call, I'm certainly going to be focusing more on the benchmarking tool that we call Portfolio Manager. A few years ago, assessing building energy efficiency, or energy performance as it sometimes is called, was not really as easy as assessing the performance of motor vehicles. Now, we all know that 51 miles per gallon is pretty high performance for an automobile, because we could basically compare it to the clunker that we're driving now that gets 23 miles per gallon. But, you know, what about hospitals? Is 550 kBTU per square foot per year, which is the metric of kBTU, is thousands of British thermal units, which is the common way to equate all energy consumption in a hospital, the electricity, the natural gas, the steam, et cetera. Is 550 kBTU per square foot per year high or low for a hospital? Well, just as EPA has developed ways by which we measure the fuel efficiency of cars, we developed a way to measure the energy efficiency of buildings, and we call it the National Energy Performance Rating System. And this system generates a statement of energy performance for the building, just like the miles per gallon sticker is generated for motor vehicles. Our benchmarking tool is called Portfolio Manager, and it allows you to track energy and water so that you can see how effective your efforts are to reduce them. It's weather normalized, meaning that even though your facility will use more or less energy than average depending upon the weather, weather is factored out so that comparisons are based only on the actual energy efficiency of the building. And that enables you to compare your facility to similar ones across the country, even though the climate may be different. And after you have an initial baseline reading, you can track the results of your energy management program and see savings in energy or carbon dioxide reductions. It also allows you to track the energy use of any healthcare building type, and it provides weather-normalized comparisons to either the national average or along a 1 to 100 rating scale. And the rating is flexible enough to allow any building configuration, whether your hospital is part of a multi-building campus or if it's a standalone facility. And you can enter any combination of meters that you may have. Well, about 60% of building types are eligible for an ENERGY STAR rating. Hospitals and medical office buildings certainly stand out as being the most likely candidates in your building portfolios, but your organization may also own administrative offices and warehouses, or even hotels as well. Those are all eligible for an ENERGY STAR rating. Well, we can create ENERGY STAR ratings for building types based on national energy surveys. And these surveys have a large sample size and they're geographically varied. And in this example, we have a large sample of buildings that are shown in the classic bell curve, with a few buildings using a lot of energy on one extreme and a few buildings using a lot less on the other extreme. But most of the buildings are going to fall, as you see by that big hump there, most of the buildings are going to be falling somewhere in the middle. And the higher you are on the scale, the less energy you use. So an energy performance rating of 50 is what we have defined as the industry average. Okay, well, let's put some real numbers on those ratings now. So for an acute care 177-bed facility with a gross square footage of 280,000 square feet, the average energy intensity is 443 kBTU per square foot per year. So as you can see, the 550 kBTU for this size of facility would make it a lower performer, scoring at a 25 on that scale. And if you rated a 50 and wanted to know how much of a reduction you needed to get to the bottom of the next quartile, then doing the math will tell you that energy intensity will have to be reduced by 90 kBTU per square foot. And this number is going to be different for different size hospitals. But I'd like you to notice the difference at the extremes. The best hospital on the far right is using 183 compared to the worst hospital on the far left using over 1,000. That there's basically a six times difference, that the best hospital is using nearly six times less energy than the worst performer. And, you might think that there's an easy explanation. All the old hospitals with all the old technologies are over, and the two bottom quartiles and all the newer ones with the modern technologies populate the upper two quartiles. Or you might explain it as all the rural hospitals are over on the left and all the urban hospitals are over on the right. Or maybe it might be patient census. But looking at the data tells us that those explanations would be wrong. The data shows that old hospitals score high and new hospitals can score low. And there's no difference in the urban-rural split, nor is it any sort of patient census or climate zone. What it tells us is that old buildings managed well can outperform new buildings that aren't managed well. And that even though new facilities have modern equipment, the equipment could be oversized at the design stage or installed improperly or not well maintained. So no longer will we be able to judge whether we have an efficient building just by naming all the technologies we've got stuffed into it. We believe that only by benchmarking in a national rating system like this will you truly be able to tell how efficient your hospital is. So after learning about portfolio manager, the director of facility engineering here at Shriners Hospital for Children in Houston, he decided to benchmark his hospital. And given that it was a newer hospital that was built in 1996, he could certainly expect that his hospital would be a high performer. But as you can see, that wasn't the case. This facility earned a rating of a 42. In 1996 after its first year of operation. And this led him to investigate operational procedures, installation, training, as well as installing new technologies in the facility. And over time, he was able to boost their rating from a 42 to a 75. And within another year, he had found additional opportunities to climb more than 10 points. And the hospital has maintained, as you can see, its high performance and is one of the most ENERGY STAR labeled hospitals in the country today. Now, this next hospital is a rural case study on what it means to be a high-performing facility. As you can see here, St. Francis Hospital in Marysville, Missouri, benchmarked at average, just a little over average in 2002 at a 51. And then in a little over 18 months' time, he was able to find so many opportunities in his hospital that he was able to jump 40 points on the Energy Star scale to a 91. And doing that, he was able to cut his gas by 50%, reduce his electricity by 17%. And these two hospitals, St. Francis and Shriners, really opened our eyes at this program about how many opportunities are available if you only look. Now, here's a map of all the Energy Star qualified healthcare facilities in the country. We've got 91 hospitals that have earned the Energy Star to date, and we have 35 medical office buildings that have earned the Energy Star from the EPA. Just a good idea of the distribution all across the country. Now, EPA does not have a large energy data set on certain healthcare facilities like clinics or assisted living communities. So instead of a 1 to 100 rating, Portfolio Manager allows you to compare your facility's energy intensity to the national average as reported by the EIA's Commercial Building Energy Consumption Survey, which is a national survey that occurs every 4 years. And here's an example of Montgomery County in Maryland and how they use this particular feature. As you can see, the county can track the energy intensity of their clinics and their shelters in the red bars and compare it to the national average in the blue bars. Now, the goal, though, is to get their energy intensity down to roughly 90 kBTUs per square foot, as shown in the green bars. And tracking your portfolio this way allows you to zero in on your most cost-effective opportunities, which in this case are those with the highest energy intensity, the tallest red bars. Although this rating system is not a diagnostic tool, it does provide you with general guidance on what to do next. So for instance, hospitals with ratings in one of the bottom two quartiles would have the strongest capital investment opportunities. The lower ratings can basically enable the facilities to leverage capital for high-performing energy investments. And for those hospitals that are scoring in that third quartile, that 50 to 75 range, optimizing existing systems through stronger O&M practices would improve energy performance. And for those facilities that are scoring in the top quartile, they can be recognized as superior energy performers by the EPA, and they can demonstrate lessons learned that can be applied to other facilities within their healthcare system as well. And you can also see that same methodology can be applied to the non-ratable spaces as well, except, again, the non-ratable spaces, you'll be looking at high EUIs, high energy use intensities, as being your most cost-effective investments, and then recognizing the low EUIs as being your more efficient facilities. Well, I know a lot of people on the call are interested in carbon emissions tracking, and Portfolio Manager allows you to automatically track your building-related carbon emissions as well. So for each facility that you track, the tool will compute your emissions based on your regional power supply, because it's hooked up to another EPA tool called eGrid. So whether most of your energy comes from coal or nuclear or hydroelectric dams, you'll be able to see the emissions based on whatever your consumption was for the past previous 12 months. And then after you set up your account within Portfolio Manager and generate your baseline rating, the only thing left to do is to update your rating by inputting new energy data into the tool either monthly or quarterly. And if you've got expansion projects that you're doing, then you can edit your space as well and include that, your larger square footage of your campus, for instance, into Portfolio Manager, and you'll be able to get valid ratings based on that expansion as well. Well, we're seeing a growing trend over the last couple of years where state and local governments are mandating the use of Portfolio Manager for all buildings in their jurisdiction, be they publicly or privately owned. And some are requiring building owners to disclose the ENERGY STAR rating upon point of sale or lease to the buyer or the lessee. Or the owners may be mandated to submit their rating to their city every year for public energy disclosure. So your city or state may require an ENERGY STAR rating on your facility, or they might have local campaigns or incentive programs that leverage ENERGY STAR tools. In either case, I would recommend that you go to the link below for more information to see if any of those mandates are required. And then in terms of market penetration, Portfolio Manager is now considered to be the industry standard for determining building energy performance because it is the most widely used rating system in the U.S. As you can see, the growth in tool use from all markets has just exploded since 2007. 76% of the acute care hospital market has measured their energy performance in Portfolio Manager since 2001. And we've learned the rating system allows facility managers to talk to senior leadership about energy management in terms that they understand. We know an ENERGY STAR rating is required for green certification programs like the Green Guide for Healthcare, for Green Globes, and with U.S. Green Building Council's LEED program. And certainly with support like that, we expect to reach 80% market penetration by the end of the year. Well, let's talk about some recognition opportunities now. As you know, one of the most well-known recognition opportunities in this program is the ENERGY STAR label. And to receive it, your facility must earn an energy performance rating in that top quartile between 75 and 100. And that puts it in the most energy efficient buildings nationwide. And it not only tells your community about your fiscal responsibility, it also tells of your commitment to the environment by using 35% less energy than your peers and emitting 35% less carbon dioxide emissions. The ENERGY STAR on a building tells your community of your fiscal responsibility, as I just mentioned, and in an environment where hospitals are cutting costs due to the economic slowdown and showing that they can contribute to healthcare reform, we are certainly expecting applications for this label to significantly increase in the coming years. In fact, when I submitted this slide presentation to Premier just a few days ago, I've now learned that we have another 100 buildings have come in that have earned the ENERGY STAR. So we're now officially at 8,100 buildings nationwide having earned the ENERGY STAR. So as you can see, you have multiple opportunities to show environmental leadership in this program, whether it's for an energy-efficient new hospital designed to earn the ENERGY STAR, for existing buildings, or for your energy management program. EPA wants to recognize your success, and the American Society for Healthcare Engineering does too. They have a program called E2C, which stands for Energy Efficiency Commitment. And every year they recognize ASHE members whose hospitals have saved at least 10% compared to a 5-year baseline. And the cost of this recognition is free to your hospital, as it is for all of our tools and resources. You've basically already supported ENERGY STAR when you sent in your check to Treasury last April 15th. So I invite you to use our resources and join the program. And I invite you to take the next steps as you see outlined here. Create your own free Portfolio Manager account by going to that website. You can either take a live recording in October this month, or you can go to one of our pre-recorded sessions and take it at your own convenience. And we certainly urge you to join the program and use the resources that we have here at ENERGY STAR. So with that concludes my presentation, and I'm happy to turn it over to Pat LaDunn. Pat?
Thank you, Clark.
I just want, after listening to your presentation, I just want to congratulate you on managing such a successful program. Firstly, my colleague Drew Crowley and I appreciate the opportunity to participate in today's audio conference and to brief you on two new Department of Energy initiatives to help hospitals reduce their energy consumption and cost. They are Energy Smart Hospitals and the Hospital Energy Alliance. These two closely aligned programs provide proven tools and strategies to help hospitals deal with the two realities of rising healthcare costs and rising energy costs. As you are well aware, today's healthcare industry is faced with the challenges of rising costs, lower reimbursements, an aging population, staff retention, and outdated facilities, which intersect with growing energy pressures such as increased demand, rising costs, and concerns about reduced carbon emissions, as well as the energy reliability imperatives of providing 24/7 care, even during natural disasters. As hospital decision makers, you understand very well what the problem is. The challenge is what to do about it, and that's where the department can help. To support our nation's hospitals, DOE launched Energy Smart Hospitals a year ago, followed by the launch of the Hospital Energy Alliance in April 2009. Energy Smart Hospitals, which I manage, is an educational and outreach program focused on inpatient hospitals. Through partnerships, design support, training, and marketing, Energy Smart Hospitals promotes the integration of proven energy-efficient strategies and technologies in hospital design, construction, retrofit, and operations and maintenance. The program targets a 20% improvement in energy efficiency in existing buildings, and a 30% improvement in new construction over current standards. The goals of the Energy Smart program are to improve profitability for hospitals through the integration of energy efficiency and renewable energy technologies, to reduce the impact of volatile energy costs, to lower your operations and maintenance costs, to improve environmental performance and reduce your carbon footprint, and providing healthier healing and work environments as well as healthier communities. While energy costs typically only account for 1 to 3% of a hospital's overall operating budget, when you are heating, cooling, and powering millions of square feet of space and equipment, that 1 to 3% can result in millions of dollars in annual energy cost. To build on Clark's presentation, energy is one of the few cost centers hospitals can directly control. Improving the energy efficiency of buildings, equipment, and systems can yield substantial return on investment through less expensive operations and maintenance. Energy Smart Hospitals is making the business case to hospital senior management that energy efficiency improvements can contribute to a hospital's financial security by tempering future cost increases and becoming revenue generators. Many of our stakeholders, facility managers, for example, have consistently told us that it is critical to be able to make a compelling business case to their senior management in order to advance energy efficiency within their systems. To accelerate acceptance and implementation of these proven energy efficiency solutions, we are developing a broad range of tools and resources. These include how-to guides, such as the Advanced Energy Design Guide for small hospitals and healthcare facilities. Over the past year, we at DOE have been partnering with the U.S. Building Council, the American Institute of Architects, the American Society for Healthcare Engineering, ASHI, and the American Society of Heating, Refrigeration, and Air Conditioning, ASHRAE, to produce the Advanced Energy Design Guide for small hospitals and healthcare facilities aimed at facilities typically 90,000 square feet or less. This guide, which will be free, can be downloaded from the ASHRAE website. You can go to the Energy Smart Hospitals website for additional information on when the guide will be available sometime this fall. We will also be developing a similar design guide for large in-hospitals, which will be completed in the year 2010. In addition to the design guides, Energy Smart Hospitals is developing and piloting two trainings addressing both existing facilities and new design and construction. The Energy Management Operation and Management Training targets improving the energy efficiency of hospital operations and maintenance. This multi-session training provides a review of energy-efficient technologies and best practices, as well as guidance on the development of an energy management program. The second integrated building design training targets improving the energy efficiency of new hospitals. This one-day session helps hospital decision makers and their design team identify effective energy goals and standards, technologies, designs, and the design strategies needed to design, construct, operate, and maintain efficient, high-performance hospitals. To date, this training is being piloted in large metropolitan areas, including Boston, where we partnered with Healthcare Without Harm. In addition, upcoming trainings are also being planned for both New York and Chicago. Another major resource is our website, which we are in the process of updating and expanding. And this website will really be the repository for the tools and useful links, information, and resources we are currently developing, including technology assessments, a series of technical fact sheets on systems and strategies, as well as case studies, webinars, and other published formats. For example, we are currently finalizing a video case study on Dell Children's Hospital, highlighting the energy efficiency strategies they use that earned them the first ever LEED Platinum rating for hospitals. We hope that video is going to be available sometime over the next few months for viewing. With that, I'd like to turn the presentation over to my colleague, Drew Crawley, who heads the Hospital Energy Alliance. Drew?
Thanks, Pat. I do want to add just one other thing that we can back up one slide that
sure.
that Pat and her team are doing, because it wasn't up there, just to make sure that everybody understands that we will have these fact sheets that can show how you can get to the lower energy building. And that's really a key piece of what Energy Smart Hospitals is doing. So let's go into the next slide, and I'll talk about the companion program to Energy Smart Hospitals, which is the Hospital Energy Alliance. We launched this in April of this year. It's an industry, a hospital-led forum where we can really work together with the leaders in the industry and the national associations to really make change within the industry, using it as a way of redirecting the department's commercial building research to focus on the specific issues, the things that are preventing them from getting to lower energy targets. This is one of the third of the alliances that we've launched so far. We have one for retailers as well and one for commercial real estate. These were launched under our Net Zero Energy Commercial Building Initiative, which was launched a little over a year ago. Under the Energy Independent Security Act, we were required to set up the initiative. We were already working in that area, but this formalized what we were doing. And really, that next to last bullet is the key here, is the market-ready zero-energy commercial buildings, and that's both new and existing by 2025, so that anybody who wanted to could, at a reasonable cost, be able to do that. And last, the real key to the Energy Alliance is being able to connect real building owners and operators with our research, knowing what's going on in the market, knowing what's going on in the laboratories, and tying that together to really get key new changes out in the marketplace. Next slide. So what we're looking at doing in the Hospital Energy Alliance is really starting with the advanced technology, getting the information we have there out, the tools, the capabilities, how DOE knows how to do, our labs are really expert in getting to low energy cases, and are working with many of the partners that Pat was already talking about. The other part is really sharing best practices and information among the hospitals. Did this work for you? What worked? What didn't? How can we build on what you've learned and move forward from there? And also, as Pat was saying earlier, the case studies, the business case for why this is a compelling thing that you can make investment in that's going to make a big change for you. And then finally, serving as a unified industry voice so that we're able to talk to suppliers. You know, we need a product that does this at much lower energy use. Can we get medical equipment that is much more efficient than we can now? Can we even get a rating for that? And that's a key partnership with Energy Star for that. It also, all of this is helping us shape our R&D and focusing that work through the Energy Smart Hospitals to make sure we're getting the message out. Next slide. So, as I said, this is shaping the future and the current based on the business needs, the drivers from the industry. It's not DOE dictating what this program is going to look like. It's sitting back and listening and crafting a program jointly with that. It also allows us to validate the work there in the energy efficiency and carbon, because we do report that for people and help them do benchmarking as well where they've had some difficulty. We've used this approach pretty successfully through our Retailer Energy Alliance already. Includes some of the largest retailers, Walmart, Target, Best Buy, Home Depot, and about 35 other organizations, over 20% of the market in terms of floor area so far. So we're seeing this ability to collaborate, to be able to share information, and to develop and pilot energy-efficient products and system solutions is really the key here for each of the sectors. Next slide. So the Hospital Energy Alliance allows our, the leaders in the hospital industry, the healthcare industry, to really share their experiences, the insights, because what we're finding in all the sectors is that they don't compete on energy. They compete in the retailer on price, on product, on marketing, in commercial real estate on providing the best facility at the lowest cost, and in the healthcare, they're, of course, focused on healthcare. So they're not competing there, and they can learn from each other. And it's interesting to watch in our meetings where they realize you have two biggest competitors sitting next to each other, probably never met, and they're understanding that they can share and learn from each other. HEA currently has got more than 20 of the leading hospital systems. You can go to our website and see who those are, including some of the three including the three largest healthcare real estate portfolios. So it is really getting to the leaders in the industry. 300 million square feet, 700 hospital buildings to date. And as the last bullet says, four of the top six best hospitals in America, according to U.S. News and World Report. Next slide. Our structure for the Energy Alliance is to have a steering committee with some subcommittees, and the steering committee helps DOE determine where we're going in the future with the alliances, but where the rubber meets the road is the subcommittees. We currently have five. We're looking at power alternatives because that's a big issue where you've got a site where you need constant power. How are you dealing with that? What's the most efficient way of dealing with it? Lighting, an issue in all the commercial building types, HVAC and building envelope, medical equipment and plug loads. How do we even know what the those miscellaneous loads and other building types, what sort of energy levels they are in this, and whole buildings? How do we put it all together as a system and make take advantage of synergies there? You see the list of steering committees there, the leaders throughout the industry. So next slide. So together, Energy Smart Hospitals and Hospital Energy Alliance are really working together to make sure that the lessons we're learning out of our work with individual hospitals and the Hospital Energy Alliance is getting out to a much broader audience through the Energy Smart Hospitals. We're really trying to transform this landscape of energy and to show real-life case studies and real building successes where hospitals really have already moved forward in this and show that that can be a business case you can give to your CFO. And, of course, most critical is we're not trying to compromise any of the mission of the hospitals. It still has to focus on security, health, and well-being of all the occupants, whether they're a patient or the workers in these places. In many cases, we're finding they're better places to work. So next slide, just images, and I'll let's go on to the last slide then. So there's our website, buildings.energy.gov. will get you to the buildings program, and you can get to Energy Smart Hospitals or the Hospital Energy Alliance there. So now I'd like to turn it over to Paul Lipke.
Thank you very much, Drew, and Pat, and Clark, and Gary, and especially to Premier for hosting this webinar, and welcome to all of you as Premier partners. I'd like to take a slightly different tack in that This is Paul Lipke, I should have said, and I'm the Senior Advisor for Energy and Buildings for Healthcare Without Harm and Practice Green Health. And in that role, one of the things we like to do is to step back and say, okay, you've done your energy efficiency work. You're working on it on a constant basis. You're thinking about what you can do next. But also, what are better ways to benchmark that may translate into language that people other than energy-focused people like yourselves can understand? So you might be in a situation where you're trying to translate your energy efficiency gains into benefits for your patients or staff, or perhaps even for donors to your system, your hospital system. In other words, put them in terms that those kinds of stakeholders value. And they may not know what a kilowatt hour is or even care what a therm is, and even greenhouse gas savings may seem a little abstract to them. You might be in a situation where you'd like to leverage more money for your energy efficiency projects or justify a longer payback period. You might be dealing with decision makers who are really not familiar with the energy markets at all or have ever thought about the health impacts of energy use. And maybe you want them to understand a fuller range of benefits beyond the financial ones, in addition to the very important financial ones for making energy efficiency or other kinds of improvements. So if you're in that situation, and you're also looking perhaps to maximize the benefits of your next energy purchase, we have a tool that we think you will find useful. It's called the Energy Impact Calculator, and that'll take us on to this first slide. And if we're looking at the big picture here, if you look at healthcare's energy use nationally, we're at over 73 billion kilowatt hours a year. This is from the U.S. Information Agency, looking at about $6 billion a year being spent on that. We're also looking at 600 trillion BTUs a year, and we really want to make that case, as I said, in terms that everybody can understand. So what we did was work with US EPA and the Energy Information Agency to pull together some key data. We looked first of all at the direct health impacts we can trace directly to certain emissions, such as sulfur dioxide, nitrous oxide, small particulates, in some key areas that the Clean Air Interstate Rule and other US EPA work has really demonstrated. So in premature mortality, chronic bronchitis, hospital ER visits, this sort of thing. So we know that for a given pattern of emissions in a given part of the power grid, we have a certain tonnage that's emitted for so many kilowatt hours, and that those have direct to health impacts. Next slide, please. And using that data and others, we created, here's a screenshot from the Energy Impact Calculator. This is available online at eichealth.org. And you simply choose which part of the country you're in, your NERC region, your grid region, and you put in your kilowatt hours per year. In this case, I chose 30 million kilowatt hours, which, as the others might tell you, might be, say, a typical sort of mid-sized city acute care hospital. You can put in your clean energy fraction if you have a photovoltaic or other clean energy purchases that you've made through the marketplace, and it will then, when you hit calculate, tell you how many tons of these key pollutants you are responsible for through your purchase, what the pollutant permit costs are, and then in the lower part of your screen, as you look at the slides, you see the number of health incidents per year, and they're both direct medical costs on the right-hand side and what's called the societal value or external costs for that emissions profile. So in this case, again, with 30 million kilowatt hours a year, and for comparison, let's say a small community hospital might be 7 or 8 million kilowatt hours a year, and a big city urban health system might be 300 million. So we're in the lower part of that. We can see an annual cost of $459,000 being spent on direct medical treatment for the people made sick by the energy use in this case, and an external cost or larger societal cost, external cost of about $4.3 million, quite significant. And I want to point out this bottom number, the unintended impacts per kilowatt hour. So you might be in a position of negotiating a contract, and it's not unusual if you're a good-sized system to really squeeze suppliers as you should to get the most value, and you may beat them up over, let's say, a mil of, you know, on a per kilowatt, but you might be spending, if you're in coal country, as this particular facility is, 1.5 cents per kilowatt on health impacts. So we have to be careful, and the idea is that you can use this kind of tool to really make a very different kind of business case and to increase the resources that might be available for energy efficiency. Now, as I said earlier, if you go to the next slide, where you are, it does matter. So with the energy impact calculator, you do pick your grid region. And if we move this same hospital from, say, Region 1, as you see, the Central Reliability Council coordination agreement, to the northeast, and go to the next slide, we have the same amount of energy use, 30 million kilowatt hours a year. And if you look at the values, they've dropped by about a quarter. So we're down from about 40 million CO2 per year to, 40,000 to 10,000 or 11,000, 10,750. Our direct medical costs have dropped to about $108,000 a year. So the grid matters, the cleanliness of the grid matters, and so the business case would shift accordingly. But again, these are still significant numbers. $100,000 a year is not nothing in a modest sized facility like this. So now let's take it up one more step. Go to the next slide. Let's look at, say, a whole city's healthcare's kilowatt hour impact. Not unusual for a city the size of, say, Boston or Chicago or San Francisco or Seattle to have 700-800 million kilowatt hours a year or more. Again, it can shift a higher proportion of electricity than thermal in other parts of the country. But in any case, these numbers that you see here on the order of $10 or $11 million a year on direct medical costs, $100 million a year for societal value, those are the kinds of numbers that have gotten attention and are getting attention at a policy level, a regulatory level. And the more you can use these kind of tools to justify and make the case for energy efficiency improvements, then the better position you'll be when, as in the case of Massachusetts, they made the energy impact calculator part of the determination of need process review so that when a hospital comes to the Department of Public Health and looks for approval for a new replacement hospital or a major expansion, they're actually asked to produce this data and show what they've been doing to improve their energy performance. So it is merging over from the voluntary into the regulatory environment. Just to wrap up, a couple of points. We do have in development, this is the last slide, the capacity to handle your thermal or BTU loads. So by sometime next year, you'll be able to not only include your electricity use, but put in your decatherms and your number 2 or number 5 bunker oil, if that's what you're burning, and add those impacts in. So I think the key piece here is to think about the case and think about the business case. If you are in a situation where you've done your strategic energy master planning and you're looking at your criteria and you have two possibilities for energy efficiency improvements, you can certainly look, say, on at the age of the equipment and other factors, but you might want to think about if it's thermal and you know you burn a dirty fuel, or if you're in a dirty part of the country relative to the grid, if you burn a lot of coal in your region, that might be a reason to focus a little more on the health impacts and use the energy impact calculator in order to fold that into your business case. And in closing, I'll go back to something that Gina mentioned at the very beginning of the call. There is, through Practice Green Health and the Healthcare Clean Energy Exchange, which Premier has also been part of, and an example is the Ingalls Health System just outside of Chicago, which ran a reverse auction, used the energy impact calculator. Through their reverse auction, they saved about $800,000 a year. They were able to get 5% clean energy in that auction at no additional charge. They used the energy impact calculator in real time when they were reviewing the offers that they were getting under the reverse auction process, and that helped them to see that the 12,000 tons of CO2 that they saved and the $40,000 to $50,000 a year in direct costs they were saving really had some additional value when the bids came in, and they were able to factor that into their decision. And subsequent to their making their energy buy and saving that money, they got enormous national and regional press based on the fact that they could say, look, here's the avoided health impacts by cleaning up our energy supply, by getting that 5% clean energy at no premium, et cetera. So with that, I will close, and we'll have time for question and answer.
Well, thank you very much. I would like to turn this over to a question and answer period, and we'd like to invite everyone listening to ask questions or to comment on what we've discussed today. As I mentioned earlier, you're going to have a little evaluation pop up on your screen with three very quick questions that we are asking you to answer while our operator, Valerie, gives instructions on how we can register a question. I'd also like to thank the faculty for sharing their expertise in this afternoon. This has really been a wonderful overview of what tools and resources are really available to help hospitals reduce their energy use, become more efficient, and reduce their overall carbon footprint and greenhouse gases. So your screen should have three quick questions that we'd like you to answer electronically. And Valerie, would you please give our audience instructions on how to register a question? Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. At this time, I would like to remind everyone, if you would like to ask a question, to please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. And again, that is star, then the number one to ask questions at this time.
I would just like to also mention that Pat LaDon mentioned, Reed Clark mentioned St. Francis, Maryville, Missouri as one of the case studies that he featured, and that particular case study and a number of other ones are on our Sphere website at www.premiering.com/sphere. And there's about 12 energy case studies on there, as well as some wonderful case studies on the Department of Energy website as well as the EPA website. And those URLs have been provided in the slides, and they're also on our Sphere website. You can go directly to there. So there's lots of case studies where these experiences have been shared and basically what was done to become more energy efficient and reduce cost and reduce use and get higher Energy Star ratings. So, operator, do we have any questions on the line?
Yes, ma'am. Your first question will come from the line of Amanda Robnick from Fairview Range.
Thank you.
Amanda, your line is open for your question.
Amanda, are you there to ask a question? Okay, we'll take the next question.
And the next question will come from the line of Jennifer Bailey of Broadlane.
Thank you. Jennifer?
Good afternoon. My question is actually to Drew, and he mentioned that there are with the AGA that you connect owners and operators to research. Could you give just a brief example of what that means?
Yes, I'd be happy to. One of the things that we are doing in the retailer, and since that one's been going for a little longer, it was launched a year and a half ago, we've been doing things like looking at a whole system specification for lighting. And a good example of that is one we did recently with parking lots. The new solid state or LED lighting that you're beginning to see in the marketplace, quite frankly, there's a bunch of junk out there, and we're a little concerned. So we have a testing program on that to make sure that we do a consumer reports type testing going by that. But one of the things we did was work with our retail partners first, but also with some of the other hospitals and the commercial real estate in the parking lot and street lighting area to create a spec for performance for this new LED lighting. And it took a while. It was back and forth with the retail partners, what they were looking for, and all the other players involved, as well as the manufacturers, what can be provided, what's reasonable, and trying to get a 50% reduction in energy use in the parking lots at the same time and making sure we're getting there, but at the same time at a reasonable cost. So that was recently piloted. Walmart, who's been a great supporter in our work, did a rebuild on a store in Kansas, and they put this in, and they came up with a 5-year payback, which was actually twice as fast as we expected. The idea there is to try to build momentum in the market and bring enough interest from the retailers to get the manufacturers to ramp up production, but also help lower cost as we get enough out in the field. So that's one example.
Thank you, Drew.
And again, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question at this time, please press star, then the number one.
While we're waiting for questions, I'll ask Drew if you could share any specific examples of what any of these high-performing hospitals that are part of your Energy Alliance have done in terms of getting a high return on investment for energy-efficient solutions.
Well, as Pat said, as Pat said when she started, we've just launched this in April, so we don't have any examples yet. But Energy Smart Hospitals has been working with a number of partners already. Pat, do you want to talk about any of the examples?
Well, one of the things that we're doing, and please appreciate the fact that we have limited resources, but we, for example, are working with a hospital that's being designed and built as we speak by the Veterans Administration that's going to be built in New Orleans. And so we're providing technical assistance to them through our National Renewable Energy Lab to make sure that that hospital is, you know, the most efficient high-performance hospital it can be. So that's one example of that.
And I should add, sorry, this is Drew, one of the things that is pushing in the federal sector are executive orders and laws really pushing the energy efficiency.
Right.
And it's very difficult in the healthcare sector, as I'm sure all of you know, to really meet the targets, 30% savings required in the laws and the executive orders. And yet this work we're able to do is enabling the VA to move forward with a hospital that can meet those goals cost effectively.
And hopefully will be a model for future hospitals they're going to be building.
We have a question that has come in through the email and wondered, Clark, if you could just expand or just remind us about the Energy Star program and rating and its inclusion of water usage.
Sure. Portfolio Manager allows you to track water as well as energy. When you do track water, it does not in any way influence your Energy Star rating. But you know what it allows you to do, there is no rating system for hospital water use at this point in time. But what it does allow you to do is track your water consumption and allow you to see improvements over time from the efforts that you do. And at some point in time in the future, if we see a lot of hospitals and other businesses using the water tracking feature, then you know we might have an opportunity to create some sort of a water rating with other appropriate offices as well. But for now, it is allowing hospitals to basically benchmark against themselves after they set a baseline water consumption.
Thank you. Operator, are there any more questions on the line?
Yes, ma'am. We do have a question from the line of Melissa Shanice from St. Joseph Hospital.
Great. You answered our email question. I'm so sorry.
Oh, that's okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
No, ma'am. There are no further questions at this time.
Okay. Well, I'd like to thank the faculty again, and I think that brings us to the end of our time. We're a couple minutes over, and we'd like to thank everyone for participating and for our faculty again for taking time out of their busy schedules to be part of this. You will be receiving an email shortly, and the email will give you information about where the audio file for this program would be and all of the handouts and the links to some of the information that we heard today. So that concludes our program, and I'd like to thank everybody and wish you a great rest of your afternoon.
And
thank you, Gina.
And I'd like the faculty just to stay on the line for just a minute. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Goodbye.
Thank you, everybody.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.